Just so you can kind of see where we're going to spend the rest of our time. We'll spend a little time in the Word here in Matthew 9. Mike's going to share some things about the MLM. I'd like to talk at some point about some next steps. What could we do as a branch that would help us move the mission and the gospel forward that we couldn't do if we weren't together? I want you guys to be thinking about that practically, some very practical things. I've got some ideas, but I'd like to hear what God's laying on your heart. Then we'll close our time off with some time in prayer around our tables that Dwayne Perry will lead us in to intercede, beseech the Lord for what He wants to do in and through us. So Matthew chapter 9, I'm not going to read all of this. In the first part of chapter 9, Jesus heals this paralytic 1 through 8. And in verse 8 it says, "When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to man." And then Jesus calls Matthew to follow Him. And what marked Jesus' life there in verse 11, it seems to mark His life. As I study the Scriptures, what was the phrase that was describing Jesus in verse 11 of Matthew 9? "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He was living among the broken and the marginalized and the sinners. He's questioned about religious practices like fasting. And then in verse 18, He restores to life this girl who had died. Parallel passages in Mark chapter 5. And he heals this woman who had this issue of bleeding for years. And again, paralleled in Mark chapter 5. And then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31, He heals these blind men. And then in 32 through 34, He heals a man who's mute. I don't know what the chronology of this is, but as I understand it, this wasn't over the course of days. I think this was a day. Jesus was ministering and giving and healing. And then we get to this passage that's kind of a cornerstone in the Navigators, in Matthew chapter 9, when you read in verse 37, "Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, so we need to pray.'" And if I understand the context, Jesus gets outside of Jerusalem, and He gets up on this mountain with His 12, and He's looking down into the city that He just came from. And I think the 12 were with Him. And they had just come out of the city, and He said, "We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And we know this. The laborers have been few for how many years? 2,000 years. There are few then, there's few now. But I missed a couple verses there, didn't I? Let's look at I didn't bring my reading glasses. I just got reading glasses 2 weeks ago for the first time. Yeah? I'm in the club. Yeah, thanks. In verse 35, it says, kind of capping capping what the first part of chapter 9 talks about, it says, "And when Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, in healing every disease and every affliction." It says, when He saw the crowds, what was His response? His response was compassion. What's our response when we get around the broken and the lost and the marginalized? Well, hopefully there's a fair dose of compassion that we have. But if you're like myself, I feel judgment. I feel disdain. I feel like I want to isolate myself. And yet, I know we've seen this passage for years, for some of us. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. The compassion came because he was with them. He was among them. Well, if we want to be like Jesus, we got to do the same thing. And that's what I think we're doing. Will we be with and among the broken? Will we be with and among the lost? When we are, will our hearts be filled with compassion? And as you guys know, after he's told his disciples to pray for laborers, what does he do immediately after that? He sends them out to labor, gives them authority. So there's this idea that we must in this room, we must in the Navigators, we must be committed to interceding and praying that God would raise up laborers, but at the same time be willing for us to labor, and we are. So would you guys just take a few minutes in your groups and just look at those couple verses and just kind of talk amongst yourselves some things that either have just come out just now from this passage that you haven't seen before, or some things that you guys have seen in the past that motivate you to labor, that motivate you to pray for laborers. Okay? Just share some insights. Stimulate each other towards love and good deeds from this passage. Okay. Yeah, 35 through 30, end of the chapter, 38. 2 Corinthians 5:20. What has God given us the ministry of? Reconciliation. To be what? Who did Jesus, or who did Paul say those words to? To the church, the Christians in Corinth, right? And the one passage, maybe you guys have done this, but several years ago I saw this connection of over here, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're all ambassadors for Christ, but where did I start? Where did the Corinthian Christians start? 1 Corinthians 6, you don't need to turn here unless you want to. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. What's verse 11 say? And such were some of you. That's where they were in the transforming power of the gospel. And what did they become? Ambassadors for Christ. And Isaiah 61, oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. It says, and they will become oaks of righteousness. Who are the they? The broken, the imprisoned, the transforming power of the gospel. We need to be praying for laborers that God would use us to see oaks of righteousness and ambassadors for Christ. And there's men and women, there's men and women in your ministries that have went from one base to another, and we've shared some of those, and they get greeted with somebody that's in this room. And hopefully that increases more and more. What happens when you have men and women who leave your base and go to a base and there's nobody there? Hopefully there's a chaplain that you know or you can meet and get connected to. But sometimes we need to trust that God will see ministry flourish through them. There's going to be some of our laborers that are landing on a base and they're not on staff of the NAVs, but maybe they would receive. And so we want to make a transition and talk a little bit about the Military Laborers Network. I put this map, before we get Mike to come up, I put this map in your folder. This is the best I could do with graphic technology out there on the internet. This came off of some website, but in the yellow, and you have this in your sheet, in the yellow is what we have our staff-led ministries, people that are on staff of the NAVs, full or part-time. And then the green is where I think we have, and a growing number, Mike's laughing, I think we have, the best intel is that our Military Laborers Network, folks who are committed and growing in their commitment to the NAV calling that are out there on bases but are on staff. So this is a larger map. You can see where we are. The white is the states, but the black that don't have highlights on them, Air Force bases, we don't have anything right now. that I'm not aware of. And there may be, when you're looking at that map, you may be saying, wait a minute, I'm here and it's not marked. Would you let me know that so we can mark it and kind of, okay. Keesler? Okay. So here's, try to bring out in Europe a little bigger. And Asia, Kadena. Okay. Mike, you're on. Thanks, Mike, for coming up and sharing.
For the last couple of days, we've been talking in different ways about the kingdom of God. And there's been more that I've heard about the kingdom of God than I'm sure I understand. But in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives us seven parables about what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a pearl in a field. The kingdom of God is like seed sown and the tares got stuck in with it. The kingdom of God is like leaven. You want to know what the kingdom of God is like according to verse 47 of chapter 13? The kingdom of God is like a net cast out into the sea. The kingdom of God is like a net, like a network. And whatever else the kingdom of God is, the mystery of the kingdom that's unfolding that we don't quite understand, the kingdom of God involves this crosshatch of interconnected relationships that somehow engulfs, includes, and brings ashore a great quantity of fish. At the beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry, Jesus spoke to his disciples with that tremendous catch of fish. I think there's a message there for us. We want to talk just briefly about the Military Laborers Network, advancing the gospel to the frontiers. Gang, you need to know that I'm the product. The home for me, the Oikos, is the Air Force. You see, I wasn't looking for Jesus when he found me. I was just trying to go to the academy and be some sort of a hotshot pilot. And while I wasn't looking for him, Jesus was looking for me in that first year because there were some insider upperclassmen who modeled the kingdom. Some classmates who went through Hell Week just like me and modeled the kingdom. God drew me to himself through some relationships of people right next door to where I lived, worked, and played. My life was transformed. Five of the six bases that Lorelei and I were stationed at, five out of the six, there was no navigator staff in our 9-year active duty career. We were the navigators. And all through this room, and people who couldn't be here today, the navigators are you and me. Some of them active duty. Most of them active duty. The Military Laborers Network. I look at this thing, and the roots for this thing come from Luke chapter 10 for me. But I've titled it the idea of we're advancing the gospel. The whole vision statement is to advance the gospel. And the MLN is about advancing the gospel to the final frontiers. I get that picture of Jean-Luc Picard on the Enterprise. On a voyage of... What is this, Felix? On a voyage of discovery going where no man has gone before. And friends, as we're in the final stages of possessing the land that God has promised to us, that leading edge, the frontiers of the gospel, we're pushing out the fringes to settle and possess and fill every part of the Air Force with men and women who can make disciples. Luke chapter 9. If you've got your Bibles, look quickly at Luke chapter 9. This is where you're familiar with a passage. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus calls together the 12. These are the guys who had left everything and followed him, and they'd been trucking around with Jesus for a while. He called the 12 together, gave them authority over all the demons and authority to heal diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healings, and he gives them instructions. And they go out, and God does amazing things, and they're rejoicing in that, and the 5,000 are fed. And then Luke chapter 10. Look at it. I want you to see it with your eyes. Luke chapter 10. Now, after this, after the 12 were commissioned, appointed, and sent out, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. And we don't even know their names. But these are the 70 others who went out two by two ahead of him to every city where Jesus was going to come. You're right. We shared about it, how Jesus went throughout all the cities preaching the gospel. But before he got there, he sent out special ones, two by two in advance. And we don't even know their names. Friends, as I looked at that verse, I thought, there are at least six times as many people than the vocational workers, than the 12 professional disciples that Jesus appointed, anointed, sent, and deployed. And you want to know, he gives them the same instructions just about as he gave the 12. But he begins with 10 verse 2. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore pray, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. He sends them. That's what we're about in the Military Laborers Network together. We're advancing the frontiers of the gospel. It comes from the foundations of the scriptures. I believe God is at this point wanting to mobilize sixfold of whatever we could pack in at this conference that are vocational navigators, professional pastors. It's men and women from all walks of life in every AFSC to reach their sphere. You know, the Reformation several centuries ago gave the Word of God to the common man and woman. Today, that same Holy Spirit is giving the work of God to every common man and woman Christian that's in our midst. Pilots and age mechanics, satellite officers, nurses, IM personnel, personnel folks all across our Air Force. Well, that's what we're about. Let me give you a quick overview. The Air Force MLN is a mobile community of labor leaders who share the navigator vision and values, and they're partnering with us to advance the gospel throughout the Air Force. These people live as insiders in their natural spheres where they live, work, and play. Four crucial concepts. This is a virtual and mobile community. The focus is on the laborer leader. It's a laborer-centric vision of ministry, and it's a shared branch initiative. Let me just touch each of those quickly. First, it's a mobile and virtual community. Friends, you and I who have been in the Air Force long enough know that you're going to meet somebody at Base X, and you're going to run into them again at Base Y. Your circles of influence and relationship continue to overlap through a whole career, sovereignly managed by God. Rather than thinking of community as geography, who's just around this table? My community is the whole of the Air Force. Your community is the whole of the Air Force. It's mobile, it's constantly changing, and it's virtual, but we can connect with today's communication by email, by Facebook, by phone, by teleconferencing, by video conferencing. You could get on an airplane and get there. It's a mobile community. We've got to not be bound by our geography. These are three friends. Dan Dubois came into our ministry. He's the tallest guy. Some of these guys have more hair and more height than others. But Dan Dubois was involved with our ministry for a while. He was the navigator at Nellis. He's an active duty public affairs officer, but he was the navigator doing the ministry at Nellis for years and years. And he knew a friend during his time there, a casual status officer, who all of a sudden wound up at Vance Air Force Base in pilot training, Alfredo Valderas. And we would make trips, Dan and I, to go visit with Alfredo. We'd get in the car and drive. Great times in the Word. And we'd spend a weekend with Alfredo and Lydia, investing in their lives because they were friends. And now all of a sudden, we have a labor-led ministry going on at Vance Air Force Base. Well, now, Alfredo goes to Bernie in Okinawa, and the work continues. It's laborer leaders like that. It's people like, this is our second concept, it's the laborer leader that's key. This is somebody who shares our vision. He's actively partnering, not just someplace on a list, but actively involved in advancing the gospel together with the rest of us who are doing that. They're taking steps to advance the gospel in their natural spheres where they live, work, and play throughout the seasons of their lives. That's what a labor leader is. You know some folks there right now that are coming to your mind who we don't even know about. But they're with us in heart, even though they're not with us in this room. We want to weave together that network of those labor leaders. Here's some folks that are some friends of ours. We knew them from a ministry that we were involved with in Colorado Springs. First one came to Christ, and then he came to Christ. And they began to grow And so we kept in touch with them, you know, just like you all do. We have our friends that we lead to Christ, and we continue to stick with them. And all of a sudden, he becomes an officer, and then all of a sudden, he gets promoted, and suddenly he's the lab commander at Elmendorf Air Force Base. And he says, Mike, Lorelei, would you come over here and help us? So we spend a little time just with them and investing our lives in helping them to own the ministry, because, you see, they are the navigators at Elmendorf, not Mike and Lorelei. It's a little bit like this great war bird.
What?
Great old war bird that is still flying and has delivered more pounds of bomb than any other weapon system that flies right now. But I digress. That thing works so well, but what happens if I take off one of those wings and try to fly that thing? But when I have both the staff-led wing and the labor leader wing together, joined together on that fuselage, centered in Christ, then together we can deliver all sorts of impact in our Air Force world. Am I right? Do you see how desperately we need those other 72 others that God is calling, anointing, and appointing? Well, as a result, in just a couple weeks later, this is their ministry. Now, we got to get in the picture, but it's Scott and Janine's ministry. They left Elmendorf. Today, they're down at Barksdale Air Force Base doing the same thing. They're the labor leaders. They're the navigators. The focus is these labor leaders. Our ministry is laborer-centric. Now, we don't have time, but if you take a look at Acts chapter 16, there's several different ways you can read it. If you look at Acts chapter 16, you can focus on this and see what you want. You can look at verse 1 and say that Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, and it was a focus on Paul, and he finds Timothy, and he wants Timothy to come with him. And you could say, well, this is a staff-centric. It's the full-time guys we're talking about in Acts chapter 16. Or you could look at verse 1 and say, no, they came to Lystra and Derbe. You could look at 6 and they said they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. You could look at verse 11 and say they went from Troas to Samothrace to Neapolis. You could go on to verse 12 and say that they finally get there to Philippi in the Macedonian colony. And you could say, no, it's about geography. It's about targets. But when I read Acts chapter 16, I see Paul, a person, investing in Timothy, a person. I see verse 14. There's a certain woman named Lydia who comes to Christ, and she begins to influence others. I see verse 16 through 18. I see it happened that as they were going along, there's a certain slave girl, a person, whose life is transformed. I see in verse 27 a jailer touched by lives that were different. And pretty soon that whole household comes to Christ. I look at verse 40 and I see they went out of the prison, they entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, do you realize there's already a collection of brethren in less than a chapter? I think the focus of Acts chapter 16, the focus of the heart of God, is on the laborers, the ones that he said, oh, please, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Well, finally, this is a shared branch initiative. Gang, each of us has got a network of friends that you and I are part of. People that we've led to Christ, we've walked with in Bible study, and they're our friends and we stay in touch with them. But throughout our whole Air Force branch, there's a whole bunch of MLNs. My little network. And it's mine. And I think that grieves the heart of God. That with all the potential of what you've seen from my little network that belongs to you, imagine what would happen if we as a family would begin together to tie together the loose ends, to begin to link together those nexus points that are right now empty. Our little networks need to become the Air Force Laborers Network. It involves all of us. It involves the insiders and the alongsiders. In our emphasis on laborers, the insiders are so important, but insiders need alongsiders who will bring encouragement, equipping, help, networking, linking. It involves us all. Friends, this is a shared network, and together, just like the disciples were doing when Jesus called them, we've got to mend the nets. To mend the networks and not just have my own little net. My little net. But rather to mend the nets, to tie together those loose ends where we somehow don't quite connect somebody. To find those interconnections that, oh, I know a friend who knows a friend who knows a friend. And we link them together in the open-handed family of God. It's a shared initiative. So, four crucial concepts that are foundational to what we're about in this Military Laborers Network. The Military Laborers Network of the Air Force is really kingdom expansion is what we're about. We want to go into the Air Force, but if what Dave says is true, that 80% of our military people spend only 1 4-year tour in the Air Force, we've got the Air Force as a fishing pool from which to raise up, train, and equip, and then deploy them into our nation. They're going to go back to Ames, Iowa, and Mule Creek Junction, Wyoming. And if we've equipped them to be laborers, if we've networked them and served them, they're going to take out into their civilian communities as doctors and lawyers and garbage men and farmers and ranchers. They're going to go back to their home place. And they'll do the same thing we taught them in the Air Force, to know Christ and to make Him known. And it's not just going to be our nation, but I believe it's going to be to the very ends of the earth. The fulfillment of what we're all longing for, the fulfillment of Acts 1:8, is through our labor leaders. God gave us a foretaste. Lorelei and I were invited to Australia, and there we met Kat Crane. Kat Crane is an Air Force logistics and material officer up in Townsville. She had graduated from the Air Academy, had some involvement with the navigators, and I was trying to share this vision with the Australians, and they couldn't get their mind around it. I said, friends, just do this. Give me the name of one somebody, anybody. Lorelei and I will go, and we'll show you what we mean. So we went up. We spent 4 days with Kat in the north of Australia. And we had quiet time, and we prayed, and we listened to her heart, and we prayed for needs of her life. And we began to help Kat realize that she is the navigators at Townsville. She says, well, I thought one of you people had to come up here and do this. I'm not trained. I just know my Bible a little bit, and I know Jesus. I said, yeah, knowing Jesus is all you need. We'll help you with the rest. I said, who are your friends? Well, I'd already been to the O Club with her a couple times, and I was impressed at how everybody and his dog, flyers, non-flyers, the guys, the gals, they all knew Kat. She was, if you look at Luke 10, she was this man of peace that Jesus talks about. And so before we left, in just a matter of 4 days, Kat gathered together a group. This group began to study the scriptures. And today, there's a navigator ministry in Australia at Townsville among the Air Force there. Now, gang, why this is so important is beyond our borders, there's a lot of countries that are not as rich as ours that cannot have vocational staff. The Australian Nav staff is 13 people big. We've got more staff in this room as navigators than in the whole continent of Australia. But the vision of the labor leader owning and advancing the gospel in his sphere can reach all of that nation. And so many other countries that can never fund and field a vocational workforce. Well, what's it going to take? I wish I had some sort of spiritual radar managed by the Holy Spirit where lights would pop up on the screen like we did when I was in the control center and I'd know where everything was. I live with the pain of there's no way to, it's constantly moving. As soon as I try to publish a list, get a list, it's out of date and it's wrong and I've got bad data. Okay? So I just plead guilty and broken. But there are four things that we need. We're going to need to identify and link those laborer leaders together. Who are they? You know them. If you look at the list that's there, that list I know right away is incomplete because Bill Mason sent me the name of seven other folks that I didn't know about, but Bill knows them, and they're out there laboring. They're heroes of the faith. They're at Cannon. The men are both deployed, but the wives are here with their kids. Because they want to be part of what we're doing. Gang, that's the caliber of the people God is giving us. But we got to know them. You know some of them. We need to share those with one another. We need to identify and link them. Secondly, we need ministry materials and resources. Special things that work out there where you don't have 60 hours a week for the navigators. You've got 60 hours a week for the Air Force. What is it that's going to be tailored to fit to them? We need to build some. Some of you smart guys know exactly what that is. Some of you who have been insiders already know what would plus up ministries all out there. We need coaches and mentors. Somebody who would come alongside a labor leader. What I'm asking is that a coach would just pick up the phone twice a month. Talk to him, encourage him, pray with him on the phone, go over their verses. And twice a year, get in the car and go to their base and just be with them for a weekend. Get your feet under the dining room table. See their people. Pray for them. Share the word. Invest in that laborer leader's life. That's people in this room. And then we're going to need network infrastructure. And there's a bunch of you IM guys that are so much smarter than this old bomber pilot that knows exactly how to make that stuff work. Where we could better link folks together. The Military Laborers Network is informational. It's incarnational, not informational. You see, informational ministry is information. It's content-focused. It's get your notebook information, your illustrations into my notebook. No. When God cares enough to make sure we get the message, He sends His Son. He sends disciples. He sends 72 others. That's incarnational ministry. It's about contact. It's about life on life. It's what Jesus does in John 1:14. I like how the message says it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes. The one-of-a-kind glory like Father, like Son. That's what the MLN is. Flesh and blood laborer leaders moving next door to everywhere in the Air Force. Gang, John 4:35, Jesus says to His men, His women, He says, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white for harvest. The problem is not with the harvest. Jesus brings in great floods of fish for the disciples at the beginning and the end of His ministry. But what we need to do, what I believe God's calling us to do, is let's join together to mend the nets to be ready for the catch that God wants to give. Darren?
I've only got a couple things I think would be important for us to do before we leave is pray together for laborers. Pray for a vision. We're going to do that in a little bit. But in terms of some next steps, practical stuff, some of the things Mike just hit on would be practical. What I'd like for you guys to do in your tables is just to stay engaged just a little bit longer. This is a longer session than we've had since we've been in the conference, and I know we're tired. But we think about some possible next steps. What could we do as an Air Force branch to move the gospel into the nation and laborers that we couldn't do by ourselves? Would you guys just brainstorm at your table for just 4 or 5 minutes? Then we're going to come back up and I'm going to write them up here on the board. Just get our minds thinking. What could we do practically? Yeah, go ahead.
As part of that, either after or before, is there anything else other than MLN and that there's some folks working on? Because I just don't know who's doing it.
When you say, oh.
Yeah, just have you asked other folks to do some things like, you know, is any strategic initiatives already and introduced with those folks?
Yeah, thanks for doing it. I will do that before we break. Yeah. Okay.
What is the question again that we're supposed to do?
Around your table, what are some possible things that we could do practically, next steps, that would help us work together as a branch? One of the things I suggested at the beginning is next January have another Air Force MLK conference like we've done the last 2 years. That would be one practical thing that we could do next that I'd like for us to do. What are some other practical things that we could do that would help connect us together in our ministries, connect us together with our laborers. Okay? About 5 minutes. Hey, friends. Let's bring our time to a close now.
Hey, yo.
Thanks, Joe. What are some of the things that you guys have stirring in your around your tables? Hopefully it's also stirring around your hearts on some practical next step things that we could be doing, ought to be doing, we got to do. Larry.
I'm going to go through our list. We'd like to see the Air Force newsletter revived. And the suggestion was made that plagiarism is okay. And that we all write newsletters, and it shouldn't be that difficult for somebody to assemble a gathering from what's going on and shoot it out to all of us. So that's one thing.
So like a quarterly newsletter or a monthly, doesn't matter?
I would say monthly would be aggressive.
Aggressive.
Quarterly is probably as good as you're going to get.
Yeah. A quarterly Air Force newsletter that would share ministry, stories, highlights, information. Yeah.
Is that a paper letter or an email letter?
Yeah,
it was emailed
before.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is that the mode of communication has changed. How many have Facebook here? Okay. So I want to post a letter, but you have got to update the mode of communication or use redundant communication.
Yes.
Go paper, go email, go
PDF, go
email.
I'd go with redundant, or I would go with Facebook. I mean, as an IT guy, when we put stuff out in the public domain, what we put on Facebook is not us, it's Facebook. They can do with it as they want. So that's
I'm not saying only Facebook, yeah. I'm saying,
you know. I like the idea. I think if we're going to try to nail down specific, I think Felix's point is valid in that maybe trying to nail down a specific is not the answer, but to say redundant paths.
Okay. Bernie.
Jim Gensler publishes the Naval Academy grad letter. He keeps track of Naval Academy grads from 1970 on. And sends it out electronically in writing to anybody who's on it. We should do something like that, at least to the people who are currently involved, which would include all of us and the people that we know who should be involved. Facebook, there's a Facebook group right now for the Air Force. It would be good if we were at least aware of it and able to connect to it. There's a spot on that for each base. If you put down that you're at a base, then anybody who's going to that base can, if they want to, find out about it.
Okay.
Google does spreadsheets with Google Docs.
Yeah.
They also have Buzz that you can use to communicate. Nav Central map needs faces like the Navy's map out there. And LinkedIn is another candidate for coordinating among us.
Yeah, good, good. Real quick on the map, the visual. Felix started this. Somebody else might be able to finish it. Google Maps that he's already started with pictures of where you guys are located, and all we have to do is click on that, and it comes up with information, contact information. It's pretty slick, and it's all free, right? But anyway.
It's not public. As long as I know, maybe the IT guy will tell me that Google loves that.
Yeah.
But Google loves them.
But anyway, that's... David.
Just a quick question. Let's just show up. How many of you guys have, like, local ministry web pages with contact information and events already posted?
I'm working on mine now. We'll have also audio and video.
That would be an easy way to start you out on our Air Force, site is just put those ministry websites out.
Yeah, okay. Good. Doug.
Darren, I don't know about the rest of you, but if we lined you up and I had to say your name, I'd have a hard time with a lot of you. So I'm very visual, but if I saw a face and I go, oh, okay, that's Bernie Van Dostal. I know that guy. He's all right. I'm going to send it. I'm going to go ahead and connect somebody to him. It's just easier.
Yeah.
So a pop-up, we had something up there that Mike put up there that you got content, and then there was something else that was more dynamic.
Contact.
Yeah, and so the content is addresses, email address, but a face is vibrant.
Sure, okay.
I like that. I want it to pop up and say, oh, that guy is at Cherry Point or what.
I get it. Felix. Felix?
The other reason, and, the reason I like Facebook, I see it at work. You know, I friend somebody, I pass the friend to that person, and that person doesn't even have to contact the airman. And he sees as much as he wants to there, and, you know, he's already connected. It's not that we need to keep a private information on one Facebook page. I'm just saying, let's use Facebook to close the friends.
Okay. Some other ideas on what we could do next. Here, Mike and Joe.
Just seeing one another, going to one another's bases. Last month I went and spent 4 days over at Duane and Anna's place and saw their ministry and just hung out with their people. Bill and Sharon are going to spend a week at our place after this conference and just meet all of our... I think if we just get in one another's homes, it's part of what we do. So make a trip.
Making a trip, yes.
We've got an open invitation to Colorado Springs if you want to come see the Schmidt.
Joe, do you have something? Then Larry?
Yeah, I did. On just to piggyback on the MLK conference, we spent a little time with some of the Army guys, and for the Army guys, the way they really built community is they make commitments, and they're all committed to go to that West Point conference once a year, and then regionally, they're all committed. Like all the guys in the Southeast, all go to Dixon, the Camp Dixie conference. I mean, they're there every year, and that's how you know each other's face and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I would really challenge everybody to commit to coming to MLK every year, and then find your regional conference to commit to come to. If you're in the Southeast, Herbert and Eglin are hosting a Panama City Beach conference, which is the last week of April. So yeah, I mean that's if you're within 5 to 6 hours of Northwest Florida, you ought to come there. And for the guys in the South, you know, on the West Coast, their Spear West Coast, you can make that your regional event. That's what I would say. That's how you know each other.
Good word, Joe. Tom?
Yeah, I know the Tom Fields Shepherd and we're trying to work out that we can mesh together with the regions and today. The idea I think as we talk, one thing we don't want to do is expecting our staff and our people to go so many different functions. We're concerned about that. But I just had an idea, you know, we're going to have a regional conference next year, which involves all our branches. Mike Kinnear's coming. We welcome to come next May, 2000. But, you know, we can do the same thing that we did here. We're together as a whole group, but we can have some breakout meetings. I never thought about that. So we'd be sitting like a breakout meeting in the Air Force. I think that's what I'm going to do next year, our regions. I'm going to get together so we get to know each other. Something real simple.
Amen. Bill.
Just on the same token, one of the things we've had to do, we've had so many things going on that, like Joe said, you got to figure out in your ministry one thing that's going to help move this forward and tell people, if you don't do anything else this year, do this. Don't worry about everything else. You can make it through it. But this one thing, make sure this is the top priority.
Good word.
Because if it's important, do that. Because otherwise we're going to run people to the ground. Because we all, and be happy not to go to stuff.
Yes.
You know, I think it's important that we really try and share what's working. You know, even as far back as the mid-80s, one of the things that NAVS used to always say is, you know, you need to be plugging into the base chapel. And, you know, I don't know how many of you, I mean, is that something that continues to be word of mouth to do? But, you know, just even the simple things that continue to work.
Amen. Good. Sharon.
I used to love rallies. Joe and I were associated with NAVS many years ago.
Well, we were in Germany.
Local rallies, you know, different bases. Like I said, we had Fort Lewis and McCord.
So some regional.
Yeah, regional rallies.
We were up in Wiesbaden, and the Army put on once a month, once every other week, a rally down in around Frankfurt. And there wasn't 25 or 30. There were 250 Christians get together at least once a month for the point of encouragement. I mean, we played soccer on Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon. Then we went in for the rally for about 2 hours. We had a team of guys that put on a skit. Christian boot camp type idea.
Okay.
So we all got together. We saw Army. We saw Air Force. We saw different branches together. At least, like I said, once a month.
Good. Good work. Felix.
Call our friends again. It is a great idea if you have somebody you're flowing to another base, use Skype. Right? Yeah. get in Skype, introduce your airman on Skype to the other one if a trip is not possible.
That's a great word. Good. A few more. What do we got to do? Yes.
One of the things that we're about, not everybody's comfortable with Facebook, but everybody's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Whether or not we like it. But the valuable tools like Discipleship Journal or Discipleship Library, mm-hmm. where there are just messages that, you know, guys have been walking with the Lord for like 30, 40 years and they know Jesus. I mean, in a crazy intimate way. And these are valuable tools that nobody is really using or listening to. And I think one of the things that we need to have is we talked about, I mean, you guys had already kind of mentioned having like an Air Force Facebook page or something like that. But on there, what she was saying about having some kind of like forums or something like that where people are able to ask questions, share their prayer concerns, but and also share where do they see God working powerfully, where are they struggling, where do they, you know, just an encouragement room where they can go and be like, you know, I've shared the gospel with this guy 10 times and nothing is working. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Good. Somebody had a hand back there? Somebody else?
Well, a website. He says an Air Force website that's getting taken care of.
Okay. Would you guys seriously? Thank you.
I'm an IT guy, 21 years in the Air Force in communication. I'm a programmer and then an officer.
Yes.
So I know IT.
Do you do IT?
Let me say this. What I hear is a lot of technology. Sharing prayer requests is great. What happened with the old prayer chain, where one person called, picked the phone, called two people, they called two people, they called two people. Facebook's very impersonal. How many of you have over 100 friends? How many of you track what they're doing every day? If I throw a prayer request up, where is my prayer request going to show up on Facebook? Yeah.
I wouldn't use it either.
I would challenge us as a mission. Stop saying, well, technology is the answer. Technology is the answer. We are people. We need to relate. Yeah. One of the things I brought up here is we had trouble communicating locally. We had trouble communicating regionally. We had trouble communicating as a mission. One of the things I'd like to see is a program like Potter's Wheel, which Rick and Kathy have been through and spoken highly of, where they bring a local team together and you learn how to communicate. And you learn how to self-help each other, support each other, and then do that regionally. And then, because we do it from the ground up, we'll be able to do it across this entire mission. Anything we try to do from the top down, honestly, is going to fail. I mean, we heard that on Wednesday. It's got to come from the bottom up. So, yeah, technology is great. Yeah, there's a lot of risk with it. Yeah, sometimes it's the right answer. But why don't we as people start looking at people answers instead of throwing computers at it? I'm off my soapbox.
I like it.
I'm a country boy and I agree.
Chris, you have one thing to say?
Exactly. Just a point counterpoint. In loving.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but that's where the people in our ministry who are 18 to 30 are living.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but that's where they are. And that's where I go to be helping.
I think you go there to start it, don't you? You don't finish your relationship on Facebook. You start it there.
It's not replacing.
Yeah, it's not replacing it, of course.
It shouldn't be dependent on that either.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is.
I know most of you guys through Facebook or whatever. I don't sit down and talk to any of you. I don't call you up and say, what's up? Yeah, I'm 6 hours ahead most of you. But that's bad on me, and that's something that I've been really convicted of this past month, just sitting around and watching people talk and looking and saying, wow, I've got a really small circle compared to some of these guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's... I guess I should get on Facebook and tell you guys what we're doing. I'm only joking.
I'm going to look you up.
Well, we have a great opportunity after this week for us to choose to continue to develop friendships with each other. Friendships. Visit each other's bases. Would you guys do that? If I was able to raise some money to help supplement your travel costs, would you guys go and visit? Yes, I hope you would. But would you just do that so you could get to know each other and be in each other's ministries? Can you imagine by the time we get to January at the MLK conference that we have taken at least one trip, everybody in this room, to visit somebody else? I'm going to Germany, by the way.
Okinawa's available.
So to visit some other ministry between now and January, at least one. Some good options. Yes?
Something that just came to me is like, it's kind of like putting those two ideas together. It's like if we had like a commit, it's like a going to a Bible study or something. We commit to going every Wednesday night. If we committed to 1 hour every Thursday night between this time or whatever, no matter what time you are, that's our time, that, you know what, we're going to make a list of people we want to keep it or minister to or encourage. Just go through the list, you know, like we do a normal, a regular Bible study.
Yeah.
You know, and just put it on your calendar. And if everyone in the group does that, eventually we're going to, the network's going to get...
Sure. Good word. A couple more and then we're going to pray. Christy.
At the conference, there have been a number of guys who haven't been able to come with their wives. And I think it would be neat, I don't even know how often, but if there was some opportunity for Air Force wives to get together for a retreat, they can leave the kids with the husband.
Lordship.
Amen. Good word.
And single gals, too. Actually, we've got a number back.
Yeah. Anybody else? Joe.
Since Larry stood up, I'm going to stand up. Make a plug. I've been deployed twice to Iraq and Afghanistan, and both times, God worked really powerfully in my life. Those things, probably the greatest, most compressed times of growth in my life. And those primarily had to do with because I got connected with other NAF guys. The way I did it was I just contacted, sent one email to the all military list, and then another one I got a hold of Doug Cody and hooked me up with some Bragg guys. First appointment were two Bragg Army NAVs, and the other one was a guy from Campbell and a guy from Savannah. So everybody from every ministry, you're going to have guys who deploy. And in my opinion, what's going to make or break it is whether they get hooked up with good fellowship. Right now, the Army has a way of doing that. They're connecting people together. Now, there's concerns about it, but at the end of the day, we're trusting God that He's sovereign and that it's more important that guys get connected than we worry about other things. And so I would encourage everybody, if you've got a guy in your ministry who's deploying, send an email to Chuck Wood or Bill Mason. And obviously, ask that guy's permission if he can go on the spreadsheet. But we just sent five guys out the door, and every one of them had five or six other contacts from another base, an Army base. We're the only Air Force base populated right now, but every base here, you could have guys on that list. And so I'd really exhort everybody to do that because it made a difference in my life, and I know it'll make a difference to the guys from the ministry.
I do know the Army is using Google Docs,
yep.
And they put together a spreadsheet for deployed personnel.
That's what he did. Good.
The very next day, I got an email from somebody in the Air Force saying, is anybody going to be over at Malah? I found three names and put it up there off that list. The guy already had three contacts. My guy went over and was supposed to have contacts there and missed them because they got moved out. He's over there by himself. So I think something like that would really work well for deployed purposes, to have a list available.
Dwayne, can you come up? I'm going to ask Dwayne to kind of lead us into a time of prayer before, so we can close our time off that way. But David, you asked earlier, I was appointed to be the branch director in January, and I asked four or five folks to be a part of an advisory team to think about what do we need to do functionally to move forward, and that's still in motion. And I've asked Mike, is the most defined person in the Air Force branch other than my role, in terms of a task that he's given himself to, and that would be MLN oversight. And I've asked Dwayne and his wife to be a part of the Air Force branch in the area of developing, coaching our staff. And I've asked Jim Lee to be a part of that team as an advisor. And Bill Mason, in terms of networking to the nations and training. But those are still fluid. There's several functions that we need fulfilled that could come out of this room here to help us move the mission forward. And I can talk with you about that. But Paul Carlin already asked if we could get a meeting together with some of the guys that have a heart for information technology. And so we're going to do that before we leave, because I can't do that. I don't understand it, but I think we need it. So if you guys have something that's really on your heart that you would like to contribute, your skills, that's a broader than your local ministry, would you please see me? Because we got some, for us to be able to do this, we need some focused leadership in some areas that we don't have.